order, we left off, we were discussing in the LU page 29 area. Before Commissioner Lindler continues, Commissioner Mello, Veal, any up to LU 29?
No.
Okay, Commissioner Lindler, go ahead and continue in the land use.
I'm good in the land use.
Okay, because I hit my discrepancies. We just had that discussion in the numbers. Staff, any questions that have, Rachel, Rick, Haley, that have sparked in the land use portion? Where you have epiphanies?
No, just a general comment. The RR zoning in our county is food bar quite a lot, and it's a primary focus.
That kind of became obvious when I see that,
yeah.
What was it, 2.1 million acres, but it's become clear that because we have one agency in the county and another agency in the county talking two different languages, mm-hmm. things don't mesh. So we need a translator.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a huge range to two and a half acres up to 1,000 plus acres in our zoning.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so.
And real quick, if I may ask, if the commission, through the chair, if you have notes that you've taken, please supply the notes to county staff. I'm doing shorthand notes, but I know that there are some specific language changes and text modifications that you're requesting, and I want to make sure that those are, you know,
reflected.
Verbatim.
Thank you. All right. So okay. We can go from land use to population, employment, and housing.
Yeah. So the next substantive chapter is population, employment, and housing. We analyze data just to try to give an idea of obviously who's living in the county. You have to understand who the population is in order to plan for them. There's not much to say about this section, but I'll take your questions and comments.
Okay. It sparked because of something you just said. I apologize, it's going back to land use. But it is specifically on spheres of influence. Is there a generally accepted process or assessment as you look at counties where you've done general plans, where you can look into the crystal ball and say, on average, X number of acres, X number of parcels as a percent or size, whatever it be, over the course of the next 20, 25, or 50 years are likely to become enveloped by an incorporated area. And I bring this up specifically, we've got the hot topic with Mount Shasta and influence on projects we see. I see Aetna growing, and I know within the last 10 years, the city of Aetna has expanded. Is there a general rule of thumb on that sphere of influence versus city limits and growth?
No, there's no way to project looking out whether and where a city will grow. I mean, it requires approval by typically LAFCO to extend your SOI and make sure that the services are there. Usually that's done through an MSR process. So unless you know of a community that's pretty much laid their plans out of where they eventually want to grow, that's something that we can report on as potential growth in the future. But there isn't a rule of thumb looking at other counties and jurisdictions. I mean, the market changes, land use environment changes over time, so to project that's just not available.
Well, a lot of things you can, drainage and sewer.
Understandable.
But if you do know of cities within the county that are or have been historically looking in areas for growth, those can be flagged and mentioned that, you know, there is the potential for annexation here based on this. But we would need to know that specific data for it.
So then I will directly ask, have you contacted Weed, Mount Shasta, and Aetna cities for their growth plans?
Directly, no.
You know, I think we should, particularly Mount Shasta, because it's Mount Shasta. Weed, because it borders Mount Shasta and there's already potential areas of potential conflict there, which you have Weed, you have Mount Shasta, and you have the county kind of as the mediator. I think those two in particular, okay. And then the city of Etna and Fort Jones would be the other two. Fort Jones, not so much. Etna, with the new city council and discussions that I'm privy to, that would be another good one. Just make a contact, get the plans, and make sure that their map is accurately reflected in our map as we go about projects.
Through the chair.
Yes.
So county staff is also LAFCO staff, so the right. maps that we have are from the most recent
they are
LAFCO, which is us, our most recent municipal service review and sphere of influence update. So those are the most recent. We're the ones that give it to the city, and we get shared that information as well with our contract.
Okay, you said you give to the city.
So
how often does a city give to you?
So we contact the city when we do our municipal service reviews and sphere of influence updates, which are supposed to be every 5 years. So in 2021 was when our most recent one was completed. We're talking about getting another one started in about 2 years.
Okay, that is why I'm saying it needs to, the communication needs to happen now, because the Etna City Council is entirely new in the last 3 years.
Yes,
now, we have Shasta City Council has turned over and Weed has turned over, and if we're doing the general plan now, we need to see here from them ahead of time. I get LAFCO is separate,
right?
But if they have something in the works, it does us not a bit of good if we approve this general plan in the next 2 years and then they're telling us after we've adopted this, oh, by the way, let's at least have that conversation now.
Right.
Honor and proper preparation prevents piss poor performance.
Yeah. We do communicate with the city planners for both Etna and Mount Shasta.
Should we have those sphere of influence maps in here?
I think they would.
They are. They're in the LU 37, 38, back to about 30. They're all listed. They start on LU... They start on LU 36 and proceed forward.
See, one of the goals of LAFCO, says, is to discourage urban sprawl.
Correct.
Okay, so they're saying we don't want to see that expansion, the strip annexation. And here, cities like Wairika, they want growth. I mean, they're really trying to increase the size of the city, which is it's kind of in conflict with a lot of the sentiments of the people.
So, but I want to just reiterate again that this is the background report, so it's existing conditions. It's not what we're looking at moving forward. It's what currently exists. So those maps are up to date as of now.
So when you do these general plans throughout, your firm does them, is there the buzz in Sacramento? We got to make room for growth that we need. Encourage growth.
I have a question.
Is that ever
the one of the trends currently is to increase growth inward and upward, right? That doesn't relate so well to a rural county, obviously, but that's a big emphasis.
Yeah, because the governor just said the exodus won't stop till the 30s. Is that a new statement he just made?
Okay. Yeah, I can't comment on that.
No, I'm just that was his statement that he didn't think the exodus from California. We'll stop until so here we are.
Commissioner Mello.
Does the size of a community in acres determine the sphere of influence, or can they just throw something out there at their will? I'm talking about like city of Mount Shasta. The sphere of influence goes way north of the city of Mount Shasta and to the west.
So I can speak to that as LAFCO staff. The sphere of influence for the city of Mount Shasta is based off of their the capacity of their septic system. So right now they have a very large sphere of influence, and that's because their septic system can accommodate that large area. So you can't expand if you don't have the resources to include
this
that.
When I was on the city council, we had to upgrade our wastewater treatment. Mm-hmm. We had to go through all this big thing, a lot of money, a lot of things. And we did it twice. because the state changed the what is considered potable fluent influent. Anyway, so now the golf course takes the treated waste, if you will, and it's gotten, it's nice and green, so it works. So, but anyway, one of the frustrating things to me when I was on the city, they came up with the sphere of influence and they squeezed everything. You know, you can't do this, you can't do that. And that's why that, what I call Junk Food Junction, South of Weed, that came into being because they allowed that to happen. Because it came to Mount Shasta first and they wanted to do it. And because of the sphere of influence, blah, 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 they couldn't do it. I don't know if...
But you didn't have the off-ramp for that development.
What is that?
The what Weed has, they have the off-ramp for that Junk Food Junction.
Yeah, but that wasn't the only issue. They just did not want that there, period.
Okay. Did you have... Okay.
Nope.
Okay. Back to you, sir.
Yeah, so, you know, this chapter really just looks at housing data, employment data, population data, just to let everybody know the context for the households in the county. I know that we jumped back to land use, but before we move on, any questions about this section? I know it's just data driven and analysis.
No.
Okay. Next is economic and market analysis. And so this really tries to look at growth industries. And potential. We looked at a few industries specifically. I will preface this by saying we had an economic subcontractor write this section. I reviewed it, but they're the specialists in this case. We did have a few helpful comments from the TAC and expanded the analysis a little bit, especially with notes about the Oregon border being so close and sales tax and the issue with people drive across,
huge.
Don't pay sales tax,
huge.
Right? A few comments like that really were helpful, but we'd love to take your comments on this section because obviously it's important.
Negative population.
Mm-hmm.
Or negative population.
Oh, yeah.
And that's something we're seeing in counties in Northern California.
What's that?
That's something we're seeing in counties in Northern California, rural counties in Northern California, projected to lose population.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're working with one county and their regional housing needs allocation for their housing element is 2 units because they're expected to lose population and actually have enough housing units currently.
Well, Alpine County advertises for the lack of population.
That's really? Right. Interesting.
They advertise 1.5 people per square mile. Which is, I suppose, an attraction for them.
If you like snow.
If you like snow.
Isn't that one of the smallest counties in the state?
Yeah. Population.
Yeah.
I think population-wise.
It's like 250
yeah.
people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can say one of the things that we had difficulty projecting was the hospitality needs. Because in rural counties, as you may know, a lot of people end up using hotels and motels for longer term stays, right? It's almost an affordable or more affordable housing type. Mm. Sometimes it's tribes putting people up in hotels, things like that. So it was rather difficult to come up with a projection, but I think the economic subs really did a good job of trying to encapsulate the issue.
Yeah, of course, just my opinion, the population growth or wanting population is not the boom that it used to be for California. California was, come on, we're running out of land, you better get your land now. Today that's not the case. I don't think you'd see a Lake Shasta project go forward in this county right now. Mm-hmm. No way. It's too much sprawl.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I've got a question on table 310, the comparison of jobs to resident workforce. And may need to explain your formulas in your Excel spreadsheet table here.
Okay.
Because it starts out making sense. Your numbers make sense.
Where's your?
Your numbers in the cells equal.
310 is your?
It's table 310. It's on POP 14.
So back to population.
So we've got the code for the type of employment. We've got the description. You have a list. Column says 2021 jobs. Then in 2021 column, resident workers. And your third column is job surplus or deficit. So for ag, forestry, fishing, and hunting, we have fewer workers than there are jobs available. So it shows black as a job surplus of 112. Okay? Numbers add up. Mining, next one down, says six jobs, 16 resident workers, but it's showing red as a deficit.
Because there's more workers than
so
jobs.
That means there are more workers than there are jobs. Mm-hmm. Okay. I guess I'm trying to wrap my head around this because if you come down, you start entering a few of these. Where was it? Okay, I guess. All right. I get what you're trying to do there. I would have, my brain processes it differently. Here's where my question is. Number 90, government. So, I'm trying to wrap my head around this because it's not the way I think. Only 1,320 jobs in 2021 were available for government employment. But you have down that there were 1,500 workers, but that shows as a deficit. How can you show a deficit for a government job?
And I'm not looking at the table offhand, but usually the point of this is to look at the number of jobs being offered and then the number of people in your workforce. So some people in the county are going to work outside the county. Some people from outside the county are going to take some of your jobs.
Okay, so that, that 1,500 workers, they are individuals that identify, they work for the government, they live in Siskiyou County, but we have 182 of them that are not working in the county. They're working in Oregon, Shasta County, Modoc County.
Right, yeah, that's the Trinity point of County. Comparing those two data points, yeah.
Okay, so those numbers in that resident worker column, they are actually employed in that code, but may not be working here in the county. That's how you get
Yeah, because they're part of the workforce, but may not
okay.
be part of...
That's what I was trying workforce. To wrap yeah. my head around.
Exactly.
Okay. So having cleared that up, because I see it broke out on 61, it says educational services. Is that school, teachers, custodians,
as well as
bus drivers, etc.?
Yeah.
Why is that separate from a government employee?
I honestly couldn't answer that at this moment.
It would be private school.
I guess, yeah.
We don't have,
I don't know if you have any
1,600 private school teachers.
What number?
So if you look at code 61 for educational services, that's why I was just wondering if that includes teachers, custodians, bus drivers, etc. There are 1,600 in the county, but then down in government, what is the definition of a government employee? Is that CDFW, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service?
I'd have to look at how the government categorizes those, because that information comes from federal data sources and state data sources. So those are their categories that they've broken down. And I can find the descriptions of those to answer that question, but I don't know them off the top.
Okay, I'm just looking for clarification, because in my mind, and granted, there are some topics where I have blinders on and I'm very narrow in my focus. If you're getting a check from a job that is derived solely by taxpayer dollars, you are a government employee, period.
Right. Right, and I don't disagree with you. I think they're just trying to break it down further by industry, just so, to give you an idea of how many educators and administrators are working in schools versus how many people are working in government administration.
Okay.
So that table is based off the North American classification of industries.
Okay.
And that's their breakdown of industry type.
Okay.
So using their data, we extract their data, and they separate education from a classic public worker. But you're not incorrect that is a public service position, but that's just how they classify the information in the data.
Okay. Do we have any way, and if the answer is no, I'll accept it, within Code 90 of government, do we have a way to delineate that by agency?
We would have to check with the sub-consultant to see if that data is available and if it actually extrapolated to that level.
If it is, that would be beneficial to our supervisors for something that's going to be coming up in the next 2 years.
Okay. We can look into that, at least investigate it.
Yeah, sure. We'll reach out and get a response.
Thank you.
I have one quick question, if you don't mind.
No, go
okay.
for it.
So I see it's 2021 data, and you know, and I understand there's a lag with getting some of this data, but when will the 2022 data come out, or even the 2023? Because I'm seeing a huge need for, you know, the ag forestry work, especially in the area of fire and fuels, especially in Siskiyou County. When will this be updated, or will it get updated before the summer?
So the 2022 ACS estimates, I should say, they do 5-year estimates, and every year they, you know, take the last 5 years and project, right? They're not, we would love to say that they're actual data points, but they are estimates.
Yeah, right? Okay.
But the 2022 ACS estimates just came out recently. 2023 won't be for a while. Most housing elements, the state is still using 2021. They haven't updated to 2022 yet, so it is fairly fresh.
Yeah.
We could take a look and see if the numbers are very different, but usually within those estimates, like between census years, there's not a ton of change, but we could certainly look into it.
Yeah, the only question I have is on that is because, you know, 2021 is following the shutdown with COVID, and I'd be curious to see, you know, we've been on a ramp up.
Okay.
With, you know, people being re-employed after, you know, the shutdown, what that looks like is terms of available jobs in the county.
Sure, just see if that shows in the data.
Yeah, I'd be curious, because that was...
I'm going to tell you, Curtis, I can't get anybody to do the work.
Well, exactly my point. I think there's actually probably... my suspicion is there's... I guess my question, or my... Maybe it's not a question. My initial reaction was I was surprised to see we have a job. That shows we have a job surplus and not enough workers? Or does that show we have too many workers and not enough jobs?
So red means you have
too many workers.
You have more potential employees than you have jobs available.
And see, on my...
And this does not reflect, but this is my question, additional question. Are these jobs full-time, part-time, or both?
I'd have to look into whether the federal data breaks that down further. Usually it's folks in the labor force and how many jobs they hold versus folks not in the labor force. And so I'd have to see if it breaks down into full and part-time.
Because we have, in Scott Valley, a massive shortage of workers to work on farms and ranches.
Yes.
Okay. Just part-time. People aren't working. It's not that the bodies aren't available, which is another little nuance to the numbers. You can have able-bodied workers who won't take the job, but your description here, the resident workers, these are people who are actually working in that field, but may not be working in the county, are they full-time, part-time, or is this a merge of both? Because that would be very beneficial.
I know when I've done consensus stuff because of some of our grants, they have us convert it to what they call an FTE, a full-time equivalent.
Correct.
So I would
assume. Yeah, we can look see if there's data on that, yeah.
And I know California law has really thrown a monkey wrench in the whole gear of progress here when they modified the ag overtime laws, and now you've bumped up minimum wage. This whole thing from 21 to what it's going to look like in 25, it's not even, we're talking 20-story difference in matching up. Because in ag, yeah, we're going more mechanical, GPS, hire a few people. We don't have full times anymore. We're going part-time, so we don't have to pay overtime. And employees aren't happy about that, but we can't afford to pay them what we were able to pay them before the laws changed.
Okay.
And so, yeah, we need the most recent, but find out if it's FTE, if it's full-time, part-time, or union.
Sure, absolutely.
Yep.
You brought up my next question on that. Okay, continue. I'm catching up here.
We're economic and market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if there weren't any other questions on this section.
Oh, and just one minor thing. It was mentioned that, you know, this data is 2021, but it, you know, the data is constantly changing. In 2 years, it will be updated, or so many years. As part of these, there needs to be a stopping point when you look at the existing conditions.
Yeah.
Right. So we get that question a lot. This report will remain as is and will get analyzed moving forward. Even though we know that data will change over time, this is just a snapshot of where we are at this point for the existing setting in the EIR.
The challenge with this one and the 2021 data, mm-hmm. is it's pre-disease or post-disease, which really skews the data, which is why I'm with Commissioner Lindler. A 22, mm-hmm. albeit maybe not anymore, mm-hmm. close to representing now, would be closer than 21.
And that was similar challenges that jurisdictions that updated their general plans right in the middle of COVID had.
Pulling 20
and, or 19. And in that case, there just had to be disclaimers put in there about what was going on globally at the time.
Exactly.
The best available data, and you put correct bad numbers in, you're going to get
correct. Yeah. This is understanding that, yes, the pre, during, and post, there are skews in the data, and that might not be reflected for several more years. But we can look at, see if the 22.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. You want one on economic? Or?
Yeah.
Are we on economic goal?
I think he's just kidding.
Yeah, I'm wrapped up with population. Economic, go ahead.
Well, I think on the page Econ 6, if you look at the home value individuals for owner-occupied housing, you look down at Hornbrook, I think you have a typographical error, maybe I'm wrong. But you've got 14% of the houses in Hornbrook over $1 million.
Okay, yeah, I'll look into that. That may be a typo.
Unless it's a Hornbrook. Hornbrook. Is that maybe the contents is that we're
in? I was going to move my house to Hornbrook. I could pay for the move and still make money.
Yeah. 14% though?
I don't know.
He's only got one up, right?
But he's got like several thousand years.
Yeah. Could be.
Catching up here on the economic, because I was still
no
population.
Problem. No problem.
I get this is going back to population, but it's related to economics. You had a table graph that shows for Siskiyou County from 2020 through 2050 a substantial declining population in the thousands. how did you arrive at that graph? What were the indices that led to that projection?
Okay. I'd have to look into the source and talk to the sub that wrote that section, but usually it's those projections aren't done by us. They're pulled from another, you know, regional planning document. In the Bay Area, there's like ABAC does the projections for the whole Bay Area, and everybody uses those, right? So I'd have to look into where they got and what it was based on, but usually it's done by a regional planning agency. In this case, it may have been done by the state, but I'll have to look into it.
Through the chair?
Yes.
That was the Department of Finance that came up with that.
State, federal?
I don't recall which one. I believe it was the state, but I could be wrong.
So, I'll be the thorn in somebody's saddle. I would like to know the data that was used to come up with that. At the risk of sounding like I have a tinfoil hat on my head, I really question that outcome. Unless, if you go back to population, it is it was right towards the end, right ahead of the key factors, right there. It's on POP 19. And it's the forecasted population of Siskiyou County 2020 to 2050. And it has basically a decline of 5,000 residences in Siskiyou County. And I have my suspicions on how that was arrived at. I would like you, hopefully, to prove me wrong.
Well, what we can do, the DOF, the census, they all provide methodologies of how they come to conclusions. So what we can do is we can research the methodology for the projection and provide that back to county staff and get that over to you. So it's all online, just going to take some digging into how they came up with that. And it should break down all the different data on how they came to that conclusion.
I guess the nuts and bolts of my question: is this assessment done based on a state average, simply delineated out to counties? Is it done on a regional assessment where it's northern counties? And at what point are they drawing that line? From Williams, Willows, Corning,
sure.
North?
Sure.
Or is it a Siskiyou, Trinity, Shasta, Lassen, Modoc. Where are they pulling the numbers that lead to this result?
Valid question, and we can work with. Oh, you found. Look
yeah,
at this methodology.
Yeah, I have it. Would you like for me to share it on the screen, or would you like for
I
me to?
I would love that.
Yeah, okay.
Rachel's
on the ball today.
So this,
she gives a cookie.
Oh, let
so
me
this
zoom
is
in
the
there.
Explanation or just for the
there you go. And it is California Department of Finance. I double checked the table that you were looking at.
So it takes current population. Okay, so that does not lend. I can tell you right now, that formula does not lead to a 5,000 person decrease. So what other influences are there?
Does it go further down under
it assumptions? It has assumptions and limitations further below.
Based on 2019.
Could we get a copy? Could you mail us a copy of that?
Yeah.
Page? Or email it to us?
Yes. I'll send it to Janine and have her forward it to you guys.
That last bullet point, constraints such as water.
I noticed that.
Right.
Yeah. I think that influenced them.
Yeah. Part of my question has been answered.
Tip in the hand.
What's that?
He was just thinking real loudly.
Sorry.
Yeah. I heard him subliminally. I
forgot to.
Can you scroll down a little bit? Are there anything else? So the base population.
Fragility, there you go.
Okay. Go ahead. Yeah, if you could email this, I would appreciate that.
Yeah.
Because I really question this graph.
Okay.
The fact that it's based on 2019, if it were 2020, it'd make more sense. 2019, I don't think we had people leaving to find jobs. That was more reflected in 2020 in the heart of the death, the disease. 2019 may have had some impact, but not as much as 2020. Okay. Yeah. No, if you can send it, I appreciate it, Rachel.
Yep,
thank
I already
you.
Sent
okay.
it to Japan.
Continue. That was my last POP question. Other commissioners on econ?
I just had a clarification question.
Sure.
To make sure I'm understanding the table. It's table 4.6. So we have let's see, for those of you, it is on econ page 10 or digital page 102. So I just want to clarify. So we have our total housing, which shows, if I'm understanding this right, it shows a total for Siskiyou County of 23,013 homes. Is all types of homes? Is that, am I understanding that correctly? And of those, 18,768 are occupied. And then it says all other vacant uses besides seasonal. So I don't really understand what that is, maybe an explanation. And then for seasonal, recreational, and occasional use, are those like, are those VRBOs and our youth permits for short term? I just wanted to clarify what's what.
These numbers came out of our housing element that we just did.
Owner occupied.
Which table are you on? I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Yeah, it's 4. Table 4.6 on page 4.6. On econ page 10 or digital page. If you have a digital copy, it's 102.
Yeah, the digital pages are different on the online version. It's page 106, or sorry, page 105 if you're on the online version. That is available on the county's website, just for the people listening.
Oh, okay. So I was just wanted to clarify what those are. And I know we did the housing element, but I forget.
Yeah, so to the best of my knowledge, all other vacant uses includes things like the unit is vacant because it's for sale, or it's vacant because it's for rent. It's not vacant because it's actually being actively used as something like a Airbnb.
Okay.
Right. So that other vacant kind of, it's people in between, people in escrow, homes in escrow, things like that.
Would it include a small home that's being used as a, I know of five in Scott Valley that, yeah, someone could live in them, but the farmer ranch is essentially using that house as an office. They're running the ranch or the farm business out of that structure. Yes, it is identified as a house, but they've got their offices for their foreman, their manager, computer set up. No one's living in there. Is that an all other vacant use, or is that still considered?
If it is considered a vacant use, then yes, if it's considered part of the commercial use on that, or the agricultural use on that land, then it wouldn't be included
it
here.
It wouldn't fall into that.
Right.
Okay, because there are several of those in the Butte Valley and the Tule Basin that are still in Siskiyou County that people have gone to that instead of renting them out. They're using a two-bedroom house as an office.
Yeah, and this data, as I understand it, is really stuck to owner-occupied homes.
Okay.
So if the owner may not be living there, but the person owns the home and they run an Airbnb, or they own a home and they're trying to sell it. Okay. It might be different for an agricultural, like a commercial, entity that owns it, right?
Okay. At table 4.10, these are job projections. Now, like, take construction, for example. You've got construction jobs 139 for 2022. 2032, you increased that. But we're a declining population, but jobs for construction industry is increasing.
Are expected or projected to increase. And I would just say that that's probably based on construction other than homes, right? So that could be road construction, commercial buildings, things like that. So even though the population might decline, there may be increased construction activity.
Yeah. The issues of uninsurability. Do you mean?
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry.
That's on.
It's under Econ 11.
Yep.
And there's an issue of uninsurability. There's a. The interactive map from a newspaper source. My only question is. We actually have an insurance commission in the state, and then there's also, I cannot remember the site. I think it was wildfireprepare.org.
Okay.
And I might have that a little wrong, that talks about insurance and the third-party certification that's going to be coming. You might want to look into that.
Okay.
Sure. Because I just don't know if that's. I haven't visited that site, but I just question how that data was compiled. My assessment is it's going to be a higher number than the 10,000, just based on the type of fuels that we have in this county. And this third-party certification that's going to be coming up in California with a lot of the insurance companies requiring third-party certification for fire safe preparedness in order to get insured.
Okay. So there may be a more accurate data source.
There may be a more accurate data source. And I, since I brought it up, but I am insured with Farmers Insurance, and they alerted me to a third-party certification that if I want to renew come August, that I will have to have a third-party certified home. They're not the only ones that are going to be doing this, but it's 3A, Mercury, USAA. There was a whole list of different insurance companies. All new policies and renewals after August, at least with that list of companies, will have to have third-party certification for fire safe clearance.
Unless we have another major catastrophic wildfire, and then we'll get more and more memorialized for another 2 years. But yes, you're correct.
Yeah, I listened to a state insurance commission meeting last week, and they were discussing this very third-party issue, and it actually sounded like they were determining if that was even something legal or allowable.
Okay.
So it seems like, all of the stuff with insurance obviously is very much in flux, so just something to be aware of that might change.
I appreciate that, because I lose my insurance in September.
I lost mine last month, so it's been fun.
Okay.
Yeah, right. So it's in flux. My understanding is with all of this insurance mess, the insurance commission has to provide the governor with certain pathways by December of this year. So probably as we get closer to that timeline, we'll have a little bit more clear direction than all the craziness that's happening right now.
Yeah. So just to bring that to your guys' attention, to make sure that's kind of dialed in, because that's obviously a huge piece.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Through the chair.
Hold on. I've got Commissioner Mello, if it's on the uninsurability issue.
Yes. Okay. I've got to share this with you. We have a friend. They have a 30-year roof on their a rental. It's 11 years old. The insurance company said you got to change the roof. Otherwise, we're going to drop your insurance.
The composition of the roof, that's
yes.
what they're talking about.
Yes.
Well, this third-party certification, if it goes through,
right.
It not only that, it's vegetation, zero vegetation within 5 feet.
That's not my point. It's a 30-year roof, it's 11 years. How can they tell you got to change the roof?
Well, they're going to tell you to change siding and windows.
The life expectancy of that roof is 30 years.
Excuse me, I got stucco. I got composition. I've been in that damn house for 60 years.
I know.
Welcome to California.
Yeah.
Rachel,
if I can afford to move, I would.
Uninsurability.
It's related to the source of that interactive map. So it was based off of data from First Street Foundation, which states that they are an industry-leading physical climate risk data provider. So it sounds like it is an authoritative source.
It is. Okay, thank you.
And I have a question on this paragraph in specific. 2 years ago, FEMA finally came back into Scott Valley to do modern surveys of elevation of determining what was and what wasn't in the flood zone or the floodplain. I don't know if that data is now finally accessible for Scott Valley.
It is.
But I, okay, so that will be.
I just got it like a week ago.
Okay, music to my ears, because, yeah, I was having to get flood insurance for 6 barns in my mom's house,
right,
which is 80 feet above the bottom of the valley floor. And I'm sorry, if she floods out, Fort Jones and Etna are gone.
Gone.
So I just wanted, I knew that data was supposed to be coming available this year, a week ago. Answered my question. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah, but see, that's just going down the same road I asked. 80 feet up, and they were going to cancel it.
That's entirely different, though. You're talking about regulations for fire safe and whether or not you can be insured or not, based on.
Oh, yeah, but this is a flood. I mean,
oh, you're talking fire.
Yeah, I was talking fire. That's, I guess they were talking. All I'm telling you is what this lady told me. The roof was a new roof, basically 30 year, and they said you have to change your roof or you drop your insurance.
No, I know.
Put a new roof on it.
Through the chair.
Yes.
So, still on that same paragraph, it says an insurance company's become more sensitized to various climate related hazards, including flooding, and especially wildfire in Siskiyou County. Could we also add something to relate our high-risk fuel hazard? Because it's not necessarily climate in and of itself. It's the abundance of fuel that's driving our wildfires. So I would like to see that expanded, because we have a fuel problem.
Lack of management on public lands.
Yeah, I mean, that
and private. I wouldn't just...
Oh, I agree, but...
And private. There's,
if we're going to take a bite of the apple, let's take a big one.
Yeah, I would say federal and private, because there's a lot of homeowners that do not meet fire safe standards, even basic 4290 or 40, let alone the expanded. So it's a fuels issue.
Yes, and that language can be tweaked and modified.
Please.
I do want to go back to the insurance issue. Again, this is based on what is currently happening. Some of the additional insurance policies that you brought up that are starting to move in that realm haven't been enacted yet.
Okay.
The recommendation would be to leave it out of this report at this point, because they're not solidified.
Got
I think
it.
What we can do is monitor the situation, and as it progresses, it can make its way into the general plan. But at this point, it might not, based off the conversation that you were hearing it as part of the insurance commission for the state. So I think recommendation would be to hold on that for now.
Okay.
If we do need to fold it into policy direction moving forward in the safety element or other elements in the general plan, we can, but I would recommend holding it.
Okay. It's just something to monitor over this next year
Something to be aware of.
Okay. I agree. Because it is a moving target.
Yep.
It is a moving target.
Before we move on from this hot button paragraph, county staff, this is not so much directed to you all. Be sensitive and in tune to what develops related to insurance and insurability of properties in the Klamath. Now that the dams functionality has been removed, the ability to control flows is now gone, which will place at risk, I'm thinking particularly Happy Camp and other properties, but Happy Camp in particular, if we get a 100-year event, we have no way to buffer that and start slowing it down before it hits that community. And how is that going to relate to insurability as it applies to our general plan? So that it may need a subtext, an addendum. Hey, also, we are aware in the general plan that this may be a future issue.
As well as bucket drops.
Right.
Because no more water impoundment.
Because if you don't have water in the Klamath in the summer to dip buckets into to fight fire, now that's another issue.
It's also damaging all the rivers that dump into the Klamath.
Okay. Thank you. Industry growth trends.
Yeah, I do not. What the information for 4.8 is that it, those projections, is that state finance again?
For the major trends by industry table?
Yeah.
Which one again?
Yes. Yes.
4.8, it's on Econ 12.
Yeah, so that's all coming from state data. Yeah, and that's their categories.
Okay, I'm sorry to be the pessimist, but seeing a potential growth in jobs in ag.
I think they're coming from forestry with the fuels because there's tons of
grants. It's got to be entirely forestry. Yeah.
Yep. I mean, it's forestry.
Of course, they're rosy, more government employment.
Yeah. A lot of that's grant-driven right now with the fuels problems. Although we'll see because those grants are getting cut.
And I guess this is where I see a... once again, an occurrence of numbers don't match. If we have a projection of a decrease of 5,000 in population, but only a decrease of 27 employees in the educational system, something doesn't line up there.
Okay.
Just of note.
Sure.
Okay.
So here's my next question, and it's on 4.13, Econ 16, where it's discussing taxable sales per $1,000 in household income. Question one, so we're talking the same language. What does it mean when it says taxable sales?
So,
I read the definition, and
I think what this table is getting at is that for each $1,000 that a household makes, they can be projected to spend this amount on each of these categories.
Okay, so it's projected household expenditure.
Spending, yeah.
So it's spending. It's not sales. It's potential spending per household per $1,000.
That is how I understand it, yeah.
Okay, the taxable sales is what was throwing me, because when I think of taxable sales per household, okay, what is the household generating to sell as income? I don't think of it as
purchasing.
How much disposable income do I have?
Okay.
And I will be spending it. So that was the question I had there. Okay.
And I'll, of course, pose that back to the sub-consultant to make sure that we're on the same page.
Thank you.
And on that capture of demand where it says, you know, like clothing and accessories, that's because we don't hardly have any clothing stores in Siskiyou County. Right. So we're having to go out of the area for those services.
Exactly.
Or okay. Online.
Or online. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to go down to 417. This is supportable square feet of new retail space. And if I understand the precursor to this, there is a set square feet that is projected that it's going to be needed, or the population based on income is going to demand that amount of additional square feet to meet a need, not a want.
Yeah, so as I understand this, it's saying, okay, we're projecting this much in sales in these industries. Here's how much square footage we're going to need to even achieve that amount of sales.
Okay.
Right? So it's taking the projected amount of sales and then projecting how much square footage.
Okay. So we're talking the same language now. This this projection is this. Taken from data from the state finance again, or another source?
So this is the economic sub taking what data they have and then putting their, creating a projection for you based on what the projected sales data is. So they're
based on what year? Is this based on inflation at 2%, 3%, 9%? At what point in time is this based on in relevance to inflation?
Okay. I'd have to put that to the sub, but I can ask them to make revisions to make that clear.
Because we, once again, I'm making sure we're not talking apples, oranges, and coconuts.
Sure.
When we're looking at each of these tables, it's if I understand you correctly, these are being created by a subgroup of yours, specialists. I want to make sure that all of these tables, we're using data from the same year, the same time frame, we're all apples, and we're not bringing in assorted tropical fruit.
Okay. So I can definitely relay that concern to them and ask them to.
And through the chair, I have one other question on this. So it's showing we need, you know, over 250,000 square feet of new building space throughout the county. Is that what I'm
retail under? Space.
Retail space. But our population is going down.
By 5,000. That's why.
So that's where I think our congruent is. Like, our population's going down. Yeah, we understand there's inflation. But what does it actually amount to as far as goods? Like, I don't, because this shows more of a rosy picture as our of growth, but our population is on the downhill.
So will people be spending more of their income? How is that growth projected? I'll ask them to clarify that and to provide a description.
Yeah. With the inflation rate like it is right now, there's a great imbalance there. I mean, what's this based on? Today's figures, as Commissioner Fowle said, or what may come down the road, or what has come down the road? I went and bought a package of hot dogs yesterday, $5.79 for 8 frickin' hot dogs. Come on. You should buy a whole pig for that.
I guess the other number that doesn't seem to mesh is in most of these tables, real estate, rental, and leasing, by and large, is showing an increase through 2050. With a decreasing population, it's two graphs that are opposed to one another.
Yes.
Typically, and granted, I only have a minor in economics, but rental and real estate follow population fairly closely.
Okay.
Despite inflation, despite world activities, domestic, national, they tend to trend with one another, and that's why it raised a red flag or a yellow flag when I see population declining and a number of these other data points on an incline. Those, they should be fairly okay. close.
Okay, yeah, because it could be increases in household spending, it could be industry shifts between industries, maybe more sales are over here.
But well, still, I'll ask them to with declining population, many of these should also be declining, not inclining. I think I'm done on econ, I think. I was looking to see if I had any of these others highlighted.
I think mine just get to biological. That's.
I think that's where I go to next also.
That is, figure 4.4 is accurate.
Rick wants it. We're going to take a 5-minute break.
Do you think we'll go on lunch?